Northwest University in Kirkland is creating new STEM graduate degrees designed to take your technology career to a whole new level. Listen as Dr. Rolanda Coffin discusses an exciting new program for IT professionals.
The demand for IT management professionals is soaring, and we're meeting the need with a Master of Science in Information Technology Management program. Students graduating from this program will not only be equipped as experts in IT, but they'll also be experts in how their work integrates with the entire organization. One-third of the program directly borrows from the MBA classes like organizational management and financial management. This means that they'll be able to adopt a holistic approach to IT, appreciating its business implications and devising solutions that elevate the entire organization.
Northwest University offers graduate programs that build your career and grow your faith. Learn more at northwestu.edu.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH. We are streaming live on all those smart speakers like Amazon Echo. Just tell it to tune into KTTH Radio and bam, you'll get to hear us. After nearly 3 years without a contract, the Seattle Police Department, they actually have a tentative agreement. What exactly does that mean and how will it impact everyone else? Well, that's what's trending.
What's trending? Back the blue.
Now, if you follow me on social media, you will have seen that I broke the story over the weekend that the Seattle Police Officers Guild, SPOG, the union, they successfully negotiated a tentative agreement on a new contract. They've been working over at the Seattle Police Department without a contract for about 3 years. I think officially it's like 2 years and 10 months, something like that. And they're not new to working without a contract. Back in 2018, as I was covering the mass exodus stories, which I was told was, I was making it up, I was wrong, and the stranger said my story was fact-checked by a judge who confirmed it was wrong. Literally none of what I was reporting was wrong, and finally everyone else came around to the truth. They were dealing with, at that time, I think 4 years without a contract. So this is not new for them, but obviously, from the perspective of being an officer, you're like, cost of living is different now. We would like some guarantee of protections. Give us a con-. People were leaving over this. That was a big reason at the time for the mass exodus. It wasn't the only reason, but it was a big part of it. And obviously, right now, if you're looking to hire, recruit a whole bunch of cops, well, it gets a little bit more difficult when you don't actually have a contract because you don't really know what you're even signing up for from a salary perspective. You just know or presume it's going to be more. At least you hope it will be. Now, what's in this agreement? I don't know. I can tell you that this week there are going to be various info sessions for officers to attend courtesy of SPOG that just takes everyone through almost line by line what's in the contract, which means 14 minutes after one starts, a bunch of cops will tell me what's in it. So I'll have all the details probably within the next day or so. I believe tomorrow is when they actually start. Mike Solon, the president of SPOG, will be on the show tomorrow. We can guarantee at least two pieces of this will involve, number one, pay, and number two, quote unquote, accountability. We just don't know what that looks like specifically. We know that on the one hand, folks on the radical left will be upset because, well, number one, they're always upset. And number two, they want absurd and unreasonable accountability standards placed on cops. And in a lot of ways, they're already successful in getting that. We told you the story, 2 weeks ago, the Office of Police Accountability, which is the Civilian Oversight Committee for SPD. It's run by someone who doesn't like cops very much. And they're confirming they will investigate officers if someone complains that they committed a traffic violation while on the way to an emergency call. So if a cop drives in a bus-only lane to get to a mass shooting, they will be investigated if someone complains, rather than just simply say, okay, noted, we got your complaint, and then just move on because you're obviously not going to find someone guilty there. But when you say you're going to do an investigation, you're number one telling people, yeah, we're going to put you through a lengthy process. And number two, you might be found guilty. We might probably, we'll probably just give you a pass, but you never know. Why should cops have to deal with that? It's absolutely absurd. So I expect that this new contract will address some of the overzealousness of the accountability aspects. You're not going to get rid of, quote unquote, accountability, right? Bad cops need to be punished. There needs to be a system in place for, even if they're good faith, but mistakes that come with some significant consequences to the public, whether that means to safety or the relationship between the community and the police department. Obviously makes sense to have rules for people who, well, break policy. But I imagine they're going to walk some of the craziness back, which is going to ignite a furor on the radical left. They'll show up to council meetings, putting more pressure on the council to reject it. So far, you would guess that based on how this current council has been talking about cops, that they will support this contract if the membership of SPOG does. That is a guess. They've been, again, at least in tone, in words, in rhetoric, they've been pro-cop. That doesn't always translate to votes. And you know that the socialist on the Seattle City Council hates cops, Tammy Morales. She's going to vote against this 100% of the time. You can just make that. Even if there's like a good reason to say, oh, you made a mistake on this one, there should be a period here, she'll speak out against it because that's who she is. But the rest, you would expect to support this. Now, again, that's based on not knowing what's actually in it. They're not going to release those details until there's a vote and until it becomes public with the council. The city did at least acknowledge over the weekend that there is a contract that has been tentatively agreed to pending membership vote. And they did hint at what I just said, which is they said our focus throughout the negotiations has been on the ultimate goal of creating an excellent police service and a safe Seattle rooted in a commitment to accountability, operational improvements, and increasing the recruitment and retention of good officers through fair wages and working conditions. In other words, we're paying a lot more. The reason why they're dealing with a recruitment issue and a staffing issue in general doesn't really have a lot to do with pay. They want more money and they will take more money, but they're not getting into policing to make a whole bunch of money. They know that they're never going to become millionaires off of this. They want more, but that was not the reason why they were leaving and why they were so upset. It was the accountability action. And I shouldn't even frame it as accountability because it goes one step beyond that. It was about persecuting cops. It was about finding fault in absolutely everything, going out of your way looking for a reason to write some cop up. And they don't want to have to deal with that. Now, when they're putting on a uniform and running towards danger to save people who are running away from it, meanwhile screaming, we should defund the police as they're running away from the mass shooter. It is so silly. The way that some cops have been treated by this department, or at least by the city in this department, has been outrageous. You have investigations that are uncalled for. You have, for example, and there was a story today that the second I saw it, I said, how did I miss this? I mean, multiple reporters said that there was a Loudermill hearing for Dan Otterer. Loudermill hearing is your final appeal basically in front of, in this case, the chief of police to say, do not punish me for the complaint filed against me. You get to make the case, and then they ultimately will decide your fate. It had to do with Officer Dan Otterer, who was caught on his body cam footage in a private vehicle having a conversation with another member of the union in which he mocked how lawyers would react from the city to get rid of having to deal with the death of Janavi Kandula, who was this graduate student who got hit and killed by a speeding police officer on his way to respond to an overdose call. Now, the video is very clear. She made the wrong decision. It was a tragic mistake that many of us have made, but don't end up costing our lives we don't end up getting killed as a result. Doesn't cost our lives. When we misjudge how fast a car is coming, she misjudged it. She made the choice to try to run across a crosswalk, totally in error. She ends up getting hit and killed. That officer should have been cleared immediately. They took it through every single process. They strung it out as long as humanly possible before ultimately clearing him. Dan Otterer was the officer who arrived at the West Precinct where the officer was based to do a test to ensure that he wasn't under the influence of alcohol or drugs when it happened. This is standard procedure. He clears the cop. So afterwards, he's having this conversation about how the city will get out of paying, and mocking lawyers, he joked and said this.
Yeah, just write a check. Yeah, $11,000. She was 26 anyway. She had limited value.
Now, I got the original complaint. I got his original response to the complaint. He made it very clear ahead of any kind of investigation, once he realized the body camera was on, that this was going to be taken out of context. You might not like how the joke comes off. I totally understand that. I love it when members of the media go out and say, I cannot believe that someone would do this, knowing damn well clearly that they've made jokes like this, if not worse, about serious issues. That is a way that some people let off steam. When you work in an industry where you are surrounded by this, talk to doctors. Talk to doctors and nurses who deal with dead patients almost daily, and they will tell you, if they're being honest with you, about some of the jokes that they make. In this case, it wasn't even a joke that he was making. He was mocking the lawyers for the city trying to get out of a payment. And by the way, he was probably right, and that's probably what the lawyers would have done, is dismiss her as not being valued or valuable to the community. He should not be going through this. He's supposed to have a Laudermill hearing today, and I was right at the end of it. It's not today. I have no idea where that came from. Maybe it was originally scheduled for today, but it was never supposed to happen today. And I only point that out because I saw a lot of reports that were just wrong. And then I very gladly said, hey, look, that's a dumb report, reminding people that if it has anything to do with policing, particularly in Seattle, if it doesn't come from me, just assume it's wrong. How's that for confidence?
The very rule I live by.
You should. I know what's going on in the Seattle Police Department. Meanwhile, speaking of which, we now have body cam footage that was released from SPD when they made the arrests of a handful, six of the protesters who created a disturbance inside of the council chambers, ended up getting kicked out, refused to leave. They were pounding on the glass surrounding the council chamber room. They, after being told three times that they needed to leave, they chose not to. They end up getting arrested and then charged with the Seattle City Attorney. We now have the video. Here's just a portion. He's gonna cry. Does he cry?
You're good. I got you. All right.
Look at those evil cops manhandling the protesters in the most polite way ever. It's weird how polite they are. And it goes on and on and on and on. Here's some more.
Hey, bud, you gotta come with us. You gotta come with us. Don't fight.
And by the way, that's why that individual got hit with a second charge of obstruction, because he was very clearly obstructing the police officer. Here's something that, out of total fairness, I will point out. Even though I 100% support the decision by the Seattle City Attorney to actually move with charges against these six, of which, by the way, they're not going to spend any time in jail. They'll get a fine and that's about it. However, out of fairness, I reached out today, it just so happened, to the Seattle City Attorney's office. Or actually, I reached out a while ago, I followed up today, asking them to give me the video. Because if they have it, they have to turn it over. I got a note back from the Seattle City Attorney's office saying they didn't have access to it. To which I said, wait, you mean you don't have it or you didn't see it? They didn't look at the video before making their charges. That's odd to me. And again, I 100% support the charges. I think looking at a incident report, let's say we didn't have video, the incident report was very clear. You can make a charge based on that. However, if you do have surveillance footage or body cam footage or dash cam footage, whatever it is, if you have additional evidence, shouldn't you look at it before making the charges?
One would think
Like, is this just a prudent thing to do? Even if you're 100,000% sure that everything that's written down in the incident report is accurate. If they say, oh, by the way, we have some video, I'd say, oh, okay, let me give it a look. Let me just do my due diligence. It just seems odd that they didn't. And it's going to open themselves up to claims that this was driven by their own politics in the Seattle City Attorney's Office. Because Ann Davidson is a Republican, it gives her critics a really easy avenue to go ahead and attack her unfairly. But this, I feel like, is an unforced error. It would have changed anything because, again, everything that's in the body cam footage is backed up by the incident report. But I don't know, just to me, and I was a little uncomfortable even bringing it up because I don't want people to think like I'm criticizing Ann Davidson or I think these people are victims. They're not. They're annoying, insufferable nitwits, and I'm glad that they're getting hit with these charges. But I did, in the back of my head, it's like, Jason, you should still be completely fair and honest about all of this because that's what you're known for and being a horrible person to your staff. And so I decided to say something. I'm not going to write it up, though. I don't want to bring too much attention to it.
Yeah.
I just feel bad. But I'm not wrong, though, am I?
No, you're right. I mean, I'm paid to say that, but yes, you're right.
Yeah, you can disagree with me. You'll be fired if you do, but you can technically disagree with me. But I don't think you do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I think I'm on the right side of this. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
So this is a pretty, I'm not even going to say alarming story because we get this every once in a while, but I like to do stories like this more as a public service announcement to parents who've got either college-age kids or high school seniors living in their homes. There is another cougar on the loose. There is another cougar on the loose. Cairo 7 says, almost shockingly, that she's roaming Seattle's Magnolia neighborhood, which is super alarming. If you've got kids in this particular neighborhood.
Are you sure that's what that is? I don't know.
Yeah, well, can you shut up for a second? Let me get through the story. My God.
Okay.
Stop. Let me get through the story. And then I get that because of your age, you know, you're close enough to being college age that this is something that you think impacts you. It doesn't. So sit this one out for just a moment because there are parents listening and they're concerned about this. She is roaming the Seattle neighborhood, Magnolia. They say not far from apartments and a school. Obviously, she's going to be near the school. So it's weird reporting from Cairo 7 there. They spoke to the person who first saw the cougar roaming around for college age boys. Rebecca told Cairo 7 TV that she spotted the cougar and initially was all like, it's not going to happen here. We're not Mercer Island or Kirkland, where usually we get these cougar stories.
The first answer is we don't have cougars in Seattle. Yes, we do. Cross my heart. And I know what I'm talking about. It was a cougar.
And look, again, a woman's going to know.
Jason, did you read the story?
I did read the story. Will you just wait for a moment? I'm almost done. My God, relax. Again, PSA. And I didn't know that the state actually tracks this. They track the amount of cougar sightings across the state. And they say 3,600 cougars, which seems kind of low to me. Because, you know, they took away all the stigma attached to, you know, going after young men if you're an older woman. It's totally legal. Shut up for a moment. Let me finish. I'm almost done. So the Cairo story, but here's the thing, and maybe this is what you're warning me about. The story at the end starts to get a little weird. It says, what's her name? Rebecca is a wildlife photographer. I don't know why they decided to bring that in. She tells Cairo 7 TV, while she'd love the chance to snap a photo of the cougar, she values her safety even more. Hey, lady, the cougar's not into you. First of all, you're not a college-aged, attractive young man, so why are they going to go after you? You're too old for a cougar to find you interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's only my second week, but I got to interject again. I don't think it's a woman.
Okay, if you're going to give me a whole thing, well, what is a woman? Just stop this nonsense. We're not doing the gender identity stuff here. This is a serious story. We don't do, well, you know, is it technically a woman? Yeah, it's a female. It is a biological female.
No, I mean, it's not even a human being, is what I think.
Okay, look, as much as I agree that we should be saying something to warn people, we're not going to go all in and shaming a woman who's attracted to, you know, fraternity guys. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that kind of thing. I'll judge you maybe not so silently, but I'm not going to shame. So, you know, keep your judgment to yourself. It's just absolutely absurd. So that's the rest of the story.
Did you actually read the article?
Oh, I read the headline and some of the deep.
Well, maybe read the whole article. And
oh my God, hold on. She says she was walking along the trail at Lawton Park, the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Why are they quoting the Department of Fish and Wildlife? Oh! Okay, animal cougar. Why didn't you say that? Hey, I know it's your second week, but don't let me embarrass myself like that. It's your job to stop me from doing that.
Won't happen again. I'm sorry.
My God. And tell me the bear story that's coming up. That's a gay man who's hairy. Is it a real bear?
I would think so.
Oh yeah, it quotes Department of Fish and Wildlife. They gotta put photos at the top of this.
Yeah, I mean I'll cut you some slack. It's confusing.
You're telling me that there's a female cougar running around Magnolia near a school. What am I supposed to assume? Why would I assume that it's an animal cougar?
Yeah, no, I think you made the right assumption. It's just, maybe read.
Well, no, I clearly didn't make the right assumption.
Well,
and if I had a better
reasonable
producer
assumption.
With a little bit more experience, he would have warned me ahead of time.
I'm still learning.
Yeah, well, you got more learning to do. Don't you ever make me vulnerable like that again. But what happened is it gone? They don't ever attack, I don't think. It's super rare for a cougar to attack. Feels like when we get cougar stories, every once in a while we get a very serious one. We had one, a woman was getting attacked not long ago. Unless you give a cougar the reason to attack, generally they don't. Generally.
You don't provoke it.
Well, and that's the same of female women cougars.
Well, true,
if you don't give them a look, they're going to leave you alone. But if you say to them, oh, you might have a chance, well, then they're going to jump on you.
Yeah, no winking or anything,
Yeah, no, off-key flirting. You don't need that. Stick with your own age. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending in Trumplandia?
Just very quickly, you've got the video that Trump posted on Truth Social showing on a car an image of Joe Biden sort of bound like he was being taken hostage. It's clearly a joke. He's not telling people to kidnap the president. And please, for the love of God, spare me all the insufferable, self-righteous outrage when y'all said nothing about literal, actual violence that was taking place. You had people like Maxine Waters and others who were screaming about harassing Trump administration officials. Make sure you harass them in restaurants while they're getting gas at a gas station. You were telling people to take to the streets, that they should be angry, that they should be fighting tooth and nail. That's a direct quote from Pramila Jayapal. Spare me that you see an image and you get all upset and pretend that you're offended. Just spare me from all of that. Doesn't work here. I'm not going to fall for it. I'm not going to condemn the guy for posting a video that wasn't even his own video. It's not like he took it. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
The Jason Rant Show.
Here to react, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rant.
And the rise of soft on crime laws and policies have made it worse.
Our man in the Pacific Northwest, Jason Rant, is on that.
You keep on bringing these extraordinary stories from Seattle. It's amazing.
Long form.
Well, unfortunately, it happened again. Another business owner dealing with the reality right now of doing business in the city of Seattle. A barbershop in the Ballard neighborhood of Seattle ended up getting broken into, losing about $12,000. And now the question is, well, what happens next? He is the owner of the Singing Barber out in Ballard, DeMarcus Wigfall. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Can you take me through what happened in this case?
Well, this is a little bit different than the first time where they actually broke the frame of the door the first time. This one, they threw rocks in. We have video footage from the shop next door, the Ballad Mandarin, who surveils the area. And it was really I don't want to call it a hate crime, but it seemed like it was really organized, if I can say that. And they knew what they were coming in to take, but left one pair of scissors and one clipper. So it was it was glass everywhere, and just kind of like a hard time on Saturday morning to like get together and like clean it up and try to like reassess what's going to happen for the next couple of days. So it's very frustrating.
Yeah, I can imagine it's very frustrating. Now, the first time happened when?
Northwest University in Kirkland is creating new STEM graduate degrees designed to take your technology career to a whole new level. Listen as Dr. Rolanda Coffin discusses an exciting new program for IT professionals.
The demand for IT management professionals is soaring, and we're meeting the need with a Master of Science in Information Technology Management program. Students graduating from this program will not only be equipped as experts in IT, but they'll also be experts in how their work integrates with the entire organization. One-third of the program directly borrows from the MBA classes like organizational management and financial management. This means that they'll be able to adopt a holistic approach to IT, appreciating its business implications and devising solutions that elevate the entire organization.
Northwest University offers graduate programs that build your career and grow your faith. Learn more at northwestu.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Around April of last year or so, I haven't even hit a full year yet.
Well, and, you know, I talk to a lot of business owners who have to deal with this kind of thing, and it feels like it's no longer the outlier where someone just happens to be unlucky and gets hit twice. Now that almost seems to be the norm, I guess, depending on the kind of business and depending on where in Seattle it is. But I'm hearing more and more from people who are multiple time victims here. Are other businesses in the general neighborhood also getting hit multiple times?
Yes, my neighbors right next to me have been hit several times. Their car, their business, and they have people only just doing like hateful stuff, like kicking in the windows. The laundromat across the street also has been broken into a couple of times. So, you know, it's really interesting to sit down and talk to clients, and their homes have also been invaded and also burglarized as well. So it seems the uptick of everything, not just small businesses, but like even people's personal property and homes have really taken a hit.
Now, I'm assuming looking at the video, you obviously didn't recognize the individuals, but what could you tell us about who they might be? I mean, was there any details that gave even a hint to police that could put them on the right track?
No, besides personal fashion styles and red backpack and big clunky black shoes. It could have been anyone, which is the sad part about my business and being, you know, black, queer, veteran in the city is like, how do I trust people? It feels like a like a turning corner also is like, how do you trust the people that even come into your shop? Like not knowing if someone is like casing the joint or, you know, befriending you or saying they're a first time customer looking for a place of refuge, but also like then also going behind your back to make life difficult and also, you know, steal from you mm-hmm. or damage your shop, which is a safe place for everyone that comes here from the neighborhood.
Yeah. And about $12,000 worth of damage and stolen equipment. Is that about right?
That's about right.
So how do you deal with something like that? Because I imagine, again, we've been talking to a lot of business owners who generally don't end up going through their insurance just because it becomes more expensive and more of a hassle that way. How are you handling that?
So I still am actually filing for the insurance. We'll see how that goes and hopefully it won't go up. Mm-hmm. But immediately, like the GoFundMe that did really well, the community really showed up for that, was actually a suggestion by people that were driving by. They were like, you should do this mm-hmm. Because my thoughts are action, like go buy stuff to complete your workday or prepare for this. Take the door off the hinges, drive to Lowe's, drive to Home Depot mm-hmm. And Frank Lumber Yards to try to get, you know, get everything situated and squared away so nobody knows anything happened. Like that's just how my brain operates. And so getting stuff together and like trying to refurbish and reorder and get everything back together, it takes a little bit longer. All my shears are like special order. You have to like get mm-hmm. them from a person who comes by and like sells them to you and also sharpens them. And then, you know, have high end clippers. And if you looked anywhere online, those can range from like $500 yep. to like $300 a piece. If you've gotten a good haircut.
Well, exactly. I'm very loyal to my barber, and I know exactly how expensive a lot of the equipment actually ends up becoming. And just like you, he sounds just like you in the sense that, yeah, we're not doing any of the cheap stuff. We're going for the actual quality equipment because that's what we deserve as customers.
Yes. Yeah, and it actually makes your job easier, and mm-hmm. the finished product is really good. Like, you know, any good baker or any person that does anything where they're at the top of their level, they use the best things that they need to do. And, you know, I understand now why other barbers, I'm not trained as a barber. I'm a cosmetologist, so I'm a hairstylist and a barber. But barbers, they have like 10 different clippers, and I'm like, can I get this done with, you know, the fewest things? But no, you actually need the tools to get every different hair type. So anyone can walk into this shop and feel comfortable with any one of us three doing their hair. And those, you know, those are very expensive tools.
We're talking with DeMarcus Wigfall. He's the owner of The Singing Barber in Ballard. Unfortunately, they got hit for a second time in less than a year. Why do you think the crime crisis is this way? What do you think is behind it?
Well, do you want my honest truth? Or
I want you to be as honest as humanly possible.
Well, I will say this. If we condone as a country crime and the things that are going on that we see on a national level, then everyone is in power to do whatever they want. And we can say that the economics of the country are doing well, but like the people that are on the streets see that that's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So
and the economy is actually not doing as well as people want to pretend, especially here in Washington. I mean, we have an unemployment rate that's a percentage higher than the national average, and people seem to just continue to gloss over that and say, well, Amazon's doing well. It's like, well, it's not just Amazon that we worry about.
Right. Small businesses are the backbone.
Yep.
Medium-sized businesses are the backbone of communities. And when those go away, then there's a big hole that is left. And we see the disparities in the rich and also those that are struggling, because most of, you know, small business, I think, and this is just my opinion, you know, we are holding on maybe like 3 to 6 months worth of, like, you know, revenue that, mm-hmm. you know, is just saved up or just operating at that level. So it's really a risky, but also like a wholeheartedly, you have to be in it to like start a business for yourself. That's how I feel. So I would just say from the top down of this country, like if we condone all the shenanigans, all the lying, the all the cheating, all the stuff like that, and you don't have anything to like, you know, either punish or justice from that, like everybody can feel emboldened to just go in and have a lot of I want to call it lawlessness, but like just do whatever they want to. And then civil society crumbles and we don't have community. We don't have society. But that's just how I feel. But I'm grateful that this community really showed their love for
yeah, they definitely
Nathaniel
did.
Barber.
Yeah, I'm looking at the GoFundMe now and you raised nearly $20,000. So that's pretty significant. And that really does mean that they're showing up. Do you get the sense that the city is changing for the better now? I mean, you know, we just had an election for council. We have what appears to be a more, quote unquote, moderate council. They're certainly talking about this in ways I think the last council wasn't. Do you get the sense that maybe we're starting to go in the right direction?
Well, I can say as a small business owner for 3 years, and I'm in District 6, I believe that's where Dan Strauss, he has yet to come and set foot into my business, and I don't know if any of the small businesses. So how do you know what's going on mm-hmm. in your community if you're not actually visiting these businesses, except for, you know, Ballard Avenue? And that goes for any council member. Like, if you don't know the people that you're serving, then what's the point?
Yeah, precisely. And I think we've heard a lot about Dan Strauss and that he survived that reelection campaign was a little bit of a shock to people. But, you know, that's politics. Not enough people voted for the other person, I guess. What do you think needs to happen for the city to or for you to feel like you're actually being supported by the city?
Well, I'll add a caveat. I met Dan. He's a nice guy. But when you get into politics, that's a whole different beast in itself. Like, I've never held a political office. I've only did a march. But I interact with a lot of political people. And as far as what the city can do is really, you know, I'm asking, like, what are people doing to deter crime, break-ins, burglaries? If you're going to catch people or you know, hold them for 12 hours. If there's nothing that is done, then what is the incentive to not do it anymore? That is the question. And like you have also neighbors and people, just civilians who are you know, afraid to confront people, tell them like, no, you can't be here in my yard. No, you can't do this. You can't, you know, and also just greet each other. Like the more that we are familiar with each other, the less that we would harm each other if we know more about each other.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point.
That's really how I feel.
What makes you the singing barber? I know I'm assuming you sing while cutting hair.
No, you can listen to my music on Spotify or iTunes or Tidal, anywhere you get your music. That's under my name. So I have a new album coming out on 420. So that is going to be, that's my other passion is just to my self-expression, I should say. So,
okay, as long as you're not combining the two during, because I would argue that during a good cut, I need you focused a little bit more.
I need to hear what the people are talking about. Like, if I'm singing, it's about me. But if I'm listening, it's about the client. And we like for it to be about the client.
Well, there you go. I wish you the best of luck. I'm sorry again that this happened to you. It's happening to way too many business owners. Unfortunately, you know, even solutions around this, while I don't view them necessarily as political, it's all become political. So I hope people get the political backbone to actually figure this out. Again, we've been talking with DeMarcus Wickfall. He's the owner of the Singing Barber out in Ballard. Go ahead and give him a shout if you're looking for a really good cut and you want to support his business when it's back up and running 100%. Thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You're listening to The Jason Rance Show. When we come back, we're going to dive into some quick hits.
Northwest University in Kirkland is creating new STEM graduate degrees designed to take your technology career to a whole new level. Listen as Dr. Roland DeCauthen discusses an exciting new program for IT professionals.
The demand for IT management professionals is soaring, and we're meeting the need with a Master of Science in Information Technology Management program. Students graduating from this program will not only be equipped as experts in IT, but they'll also be experts in how their work integrates with the entire organization. One-third of the program directly borrows from the MBA classes like organizational management and financial management. This means that they'll be able to adopt a holistic approach to IT, appreciating its business implications and devising solutions that elevate the entire organization.
Northwest University offers graduate programs that build your career and grow your faith. Learn more at northwestu.edu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Jason Rance Show.
Let's bring in our man in the Pacific Northwest, KTTH, Seattle talk radio host Jason Rance. Great to have you with us to tell people a little bit more about this.
Jason Rance is in focus now.
Jason Rance, thank you for your reporting on that.
The quick hit.
There's a story in Axios that is an exclusive, and it's supposed to generate some controversy. And it's odd because only in 2024 could it be controversial to say that we should not be racist towards white people, that if you hate someone or treat someone differently because they happen to be white, that that is just as bad as doing precisely the same thing to someone because they are black or Latino or Asian. It is so absurd that people want to pretend that one's racism towards white people based on a power structure means they're not really even all that racist to begin with. That if you don't have quote unquote societal power, then you cannot be racist towards white people. You can only be, I guess, prejudiced, whatever. It's odd because keep in mind the people who have defined racism as based on power, not just based on race, are precisely the ones who are being racist towards whites. It is not controversial to say you should not be racist towards anyone, period. End of story. Now, according to Axios, they say if Donald Trump returns to the White House, close allies want to dramatically change the government's interpretation of civil rights era laws to focus on, quote unquote, anti-white racism rather than discrimination against people of color. Now, understand that that is a very intentional framing to make it sound like there's zero interest in going after racism towards someone who happens to be black or Latino or Asian or Native American or multiracial, whatever it happens to be. That's really not what we're talking about here. That is their framing. That is their framing. There might be some more vocal conversation coming from the Trump team saying that anti-white racism has gotten out of control and they're really going to make a point to stamp that out. That makes total sense. That makes total sense, and I understand that. But they're not saying we're not going to go after racism elsewhere. But Axios says Trump's Justice Department would push to eliminate or upend programs in government and corporate America that are designed to counter racism that has favored whites. So, again, this is intentional framing. It's dishonest. It's misleading. because they are coming at it from a standpoint of any kind of, and I'm picking this completely at random, a DEI program or an affirmative action program. The reason why it's in place right now is because there is inherent racism against communities of color, quote unquote, and by taking them away, you're just bringing back the racism. No, that's not. But that's what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that. And by the way, if you believe that there's a business out there, for example, that's choosing because of some sort of inherent racism against Black people, Mexicans, whatever it happens to be. Let's say you're Ukrainian and we're going all into national origin discrimination. You tell me the business that it is that you have proof that they're operating under that racist nationalist worldview. You can throw in sexist, you can throw in transphobic, whatever it is. Let's happily call them out if that's true. But otherwise, all you're doing is presenting as fact your feelings about whether or not some sort of ism or phobia is at play. Now, they write, targets would range from decades-old policies aimed at giving minorities economic opportunities to more recent programs that began in response to the pandemic and the killing of George Floyd. Trump campaign spokesperson Stephen Chung told Axios, quote, as President Trump has said, all staff, offices, and initiatives connected to Biden's un-American policy will be immediately terminated. I can't believe it. How dare they? It goes on to say longtime aides and allies preparing for a potential second Trump administration have been laying legal groundwork with a flurry of lawsuits and legal complaints, some of which have been successful. Now, that they've been successful is not any kind of hint towards the Axios reporter Alex Thompson in this case that Trump is right, that the Trump position on this is the correct one. None of that matters, because at the end of the day, when you're dealing with folks who are very partisan on, and frankly, partisan on either sides, this would characterize. But in the world of race relations, DEI, all these woke anti-racist policies, from their perspective, it doesn't even matter if they're illegal or unconstitutional in some way. It's the end result that they only care about. They don't care about anything leading up to the end result, which is what they want is anytime someone who happens to be Black or Hispanic or, again, transgender or Muslim, whatever it is, that their demographic in the community should match their demographic in a business, at a school, in a government agency, the amount of dollars going into businesses run by insert special interest group, that they always have to be proportionate, which is a silly and frankly ridiculous way to look at things. You mean to tell me, and this is the basic argument that comes from folks on the left who believe in this stuff, and we're talking about like very far to the left progressives. And we say this in the I've got a story out tomorrow, or actually it's going to be out in the next 5 minutes or so over at KTTH.com. We'll talk about it tomorrow, about Seattle Public Schools getting rid of the gifted programs for students. And they did this in the name of equity because there were too many white kids who were there. And the basic argument was that because there are about 15% of Black students in Seattle Public Schools, the fact that you have only about 8% of Black students in these gifted programs, it shows inherent racism that is so bad that you have to dismantle the entire program. Now, is it also possible that at the moment there's only 8-point-whatever percentage it was of Black students in gifted programs because that is a reflection of the gifted ability in this moment of students who happen to be Black, that if you did the same exact thing next week or next year, you did the testing, it would show 16% or even 18%. And just so happens that right now in this moment, it's 8%. Now, they don't want to have that conversation. They think it's a racist one. It's not. It's not racist. Now, if you want to point to specifics about systemic racism that's at play, that's keeping the numbers lower than the demographics of a community or of a school district, okay, have at it, point to it. But they're not even doing that. They just make a lazy disproportionality argument. Like I said, we're going to get into it a little bit more tomorrow. But that is the thinking that goes into these positions. And that's just, if you have in any given community some kind of disproportionate number That doesn't mean anything except for the what. It explains what are the numbers? What is the data? Or what are the data, right? That's not what they want you to believe. They want you to believe that it is indicative of some kind of underlying racism or phobia. That is what they believe. An ism or a phobia explains away all of these disproportionate numbers. But in the same breath, if it turned out that, you know, there was 6% or 7% of the population in Seattle is Black. I think it's 7.6%. If you had a program that was open to everyone and it just so happened to go towards 20% Black Seattle residents, do you think they would come out and say, well, this shows some sort of disproportionate impact that's benefiting them to the detriment of other groups? No, of course not. They wouldn't bat an eye. They wouldn't bat an eye if that were the case. They would simply say, well, you know what? White people who are now disproportionately impacted negatively. Well, you know, you had a whole bunch of power for a long time as it is. We don't need you to have anything. This is your payback. Even though these people, generally speaking, are just decent human beings who had no role in sort of systemic or historical racism. But they don't care on the radical left. They just care about the end result. They don't care about the underlying issues because they're too hard sometimes to address. And because sometimes when you look at the underlying issues, they actually aren't there the way that these folks believe. Again, on the radical left, and they just don't want to admit it. They are so blinded by their own ideology. Now, again, back to the Axios story. They say a central vehicle for the effort has been America First Legal, founded by Trump aide Stephen Miller, who has called the group conservatives' long-awaited answer to the ACLU. And of course, because they are pushing back against the ACLU, which was once a totally legitimate and necessary free speech organization, they have since become partisan hacks who no longer care about free speech, nor do they care about civil rights. They only care about certain minority groups and kowtowing to the leftist dogma that every person from a group that is quote unquote marginalized, they're all victims, every single one of them. After all, they're from marginalized communities. They judge you based on skin color, when the truth is there are some Black people who have privilege and some white people or Asians who don't. But according to the ideology, that's not true. All Black people are suffering. All whites and all Asians are benefiting from some sort of privilege. And the ACLU will fight to the death of the organization to make that point. It's absurd. It's dishonest. And I would argue it's one of the biggest reasons why we have such a divide in this country. 1-800-465-8774, your texts. You're listening to The Jason Rant Show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.